Second of all, more nogea to us. So this is the last shiur that we're going to have together this summer. So I appreciate everyone for giving me the opportunity to come out and learn with you, and I apologize for making you guys come out and learn with me. Again, there's no shiur next week, and there won't be any shiur continuing after that. I wanted to talk this week, as anyone who saw the title saw, about the halacha, the din, of making 100 brachos every single day. It comes out of our parsha, and it's a very important halacha, as we'll see, because most people don't know much about it. I didn't know much about it until I researched it a little bit for this learning session. Hopefully we'll get to the depths of some of the issues, and if not, we'll at least scrape the surface. So we'll start here with this Gemara Menachos in source number 1 on your sheets. I'm sorry about the photocopies. I don't think the bottom came out well, but the side that has number 1 on it is the first side of the sheet. So in source number 1, at the very top, it's a Gemara Menachos on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara Menachos says, Tanya HaReb Meir Omer, Reb Meir used to say, Chayiv Adam Levarich Meir Brachos Bechol Yom. A person needs to make 100 brachos every single day. Shenemar, as it says, and he quotes a pasuk, but we're going to bring you to the real pasuk in our parsha this week. Source number 2. Va'atha Yisrael ma Hashem elkecha sholom yimach. Now, Israel, what small thing does a Kadosh Baruch Hu request of you? Kim liyiras Hashem elkecha. You just have to have yira of Hashem. Okay, and a whole bunch of other things. So Moshe Rabbeinu quotes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking, you know, what do I ask of you? Not so much, just that you should have yira and a couple of other things. Aleches bedrachav, lahavo, you have to love him, you have to walk in his ways, you have to fear him. A long list of seemingly hard things, says the pasuk, ma Hashem elkecha shoel miimach, what big deal am I asking of you? So first of all, it's important to note that this Gemara Menachos, oftentimes we think when we don't know a lot about something, so we think it's just a cute chumar that the yeshiva bachra made up after Shana Aleph. The truth is it's a real din. It's found in Shulchan Aruch. It's in source number 6 over here. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in Simon Mem Vav and Or HaChaim Sif Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says that Chayiv Adam Levarich Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. Every single day you are Chayiv to make 100 brachos during your day. What's the drasha in the Gemara? The Gemara said that we know you have to make 100 brachos a day from this pasuk, Ma Hashem El Kecha Shoel Meimach. Right? What does Hashem ask me? So what's the drasha? How do they see 100 brachos in there? So Tosas on the daf in Menachos over there. Tosas suggests a whole bunch of suggestions. The Rishonim all have different pshatim. Tosas suggests maybe there's 100 letters within that pasuk. If you count up the pasuk, it comes out to 99. You have to work it out. But basically, Tosas suggests that it's 100 letters in the pasuk. Okay, that's one suggestion. The one that I wanted to work with, the most famous one, and the one which would be most applicable to us tonight, is Rashi's interpretation. Rashi's interpretation is here in source number 3. Rashi and Menachos over there. Rashi explains three words, Kari Bei Meya. The pasuk says, Ma Hashem El Kecha Shoel Meimach. What does Hashem ask of you? Kari Bei, read that as Meya. Read it as 100. Now what in the world does that mean? Can't just make up words over here. So Tosas quote Rashi, and Tosas explain what Rashi meant. What Rashi meant to say is Rashi was employing a hermeneutical method. You like that? Who would believe me? That's the second time I use that word today. But he's implying an exegesis. He's darshaning, okay? Exactly. So he's darshaning an al tikri. Al tikri means don't read the pasuk this way, rather read it this way. Some of us are familiar with al tikri banayach ela bonayach. Chazal, throughout Shas and throughout other places in Chazal, have this method of al tikri that they read a pasuk and they say, don't read it that way. They change the pronunciation or they change the spelling to fit their drasha to learn some mitzvah, some din out. So seemingly Rashi is employing such a method. Now what's interesting is that the pasuk doesn't say meya. The pasuk doesn't say meya. It's nice that it says ma, and you add an aleph, and it says 100 meya. Hashem el kachashol mimach. Hashem asks you to make 100 brachas. That's nice, very cute. But the pasuk doesn't say so. Now, where does Rashi, and in fact, where does Chazal across Shas get the audacity to go ahead and make a drasha and change the psukim to alter the vocalization or the text of the psukim? Where do they come up with such a koach? How can they do such a thing to change the psukim to fit whatever they want to say? So this is a question asked by more than one person. I heard it from my Rabbi Rav Tversky Shlita. I think there are some sheets on the back table for those just coming in. We just quoted the Gemara Menachos on Daf Mem Gimel, which says that there's a chiyuv that you should make 100 brachas a day. And the Shulchan Aruch codifies that it's not a fake little cute chumrah. There's a real din in Shulchan Aruch that you have to make 100 brachas a day. And we saw Rashi in the Gemara who explains that you have to make 100 brachas a day because the pasuk in our parsha in source number 2 and Rashi is source number 3 says, Ma Hashem El Kecha Shoel Meimach. What does Hashem ask of you? Jewish people. And Rashi explains, you read that pasuk, not Ma Hashem El Kecha Shoel Meimach, not what do I ask of you, but rather, Meya Hashem El Kecha Shoel Meimach. Hashem asks you for 100 brachos every single day. And we're just wondering, so where in the world does Rashi have the audacity, we said, to go ahead and darshan psukim like that, to change the reading and to change the pronunciation of words willy-nilly? How did he come up with such a strength? So, I was saying, my Rebbe Rav Tversky Shlita has asked this on a few occasions. I saw only later that the Sa'am Rebbe in his Divrei Yoel on the Parsha also asked this question. And he adds in that, you know, if you added an Aleph, if you wrote Meya in this Pasuk, not only would it be weird that you're changing the Pasuk, it would be a Pasul Sefer Torah. It would be an extra letter. That letter does not belong in the Torah. The Torah was written in a very specific way. Anything more, anything less would detract from the Torah. So where do we come up with this power to start darshaning Psukim like this? Al tikri this way, Ella read it this way. So my Rebbe gave an amazing yesod, an amazing fundamental idea, which would explain everything. He says, this pasuk itself is very troubling. Ma Hashem elkecha shoel meimach kim liyira. What does Hashem ask of you? Just fear him. That's not a trivial thing. It seems to be downplaying yiras Hashem, fear of God. That's a no small cookie. That's a big deal to go ahead and live up to yiras Hashem. And the pasuk saying like, oh, Hashem doesn't ask much of you except that you should have a little yira, have a little fear. Where does that come from that they think it's so easy for us to attain? So Rav Tversky pointed out that, in fact, it must be that Chazal saw in these psukim that there is something easily attainable about Yiras Hashem. It's not all as hard as it looks, and there's some way that you could achieve it in a more readily, more easily, more fluid manner than you would have thought. If you look in the Ramah, in his very, very first opening words in Shulchan Aruch, in Aleph Aleph, obviously, the Ramah says very famous words, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. There has to be an idea that throughout your day, you place HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you. You live your life with a cognizance, with a constant recognition, a constant dwelling on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing in front of you and is always, Malei Kol Olam Kulo, is always forever in your presence. And if you have that, says the Ramah, if you have that recognition that Hashem is above you and Hashem is around you at every moment, then miyad, automatically, immediately, you'll be filled with Yirat Shamayim. The second you have that recognition, you'll be filled with Yirat Shamayim. So in some way, it's easily attainable. What's the problem? So as human beings, we have a tendency to be distracted. We have a tendency to forget. Even as much as we tell ourselves that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere, as much as we sing it, doesn't matter, because we have a tendency to be distracted, to be led away from the truth, to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His presence in our lives. And what's the remedy to that disease? How do we fix that distraction? How do we cause ourselves to focus more on Hashem? So if you look in source number 4, the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, this is in Parak Aleph, we're quoting Halacha Gimel and Halacha Dalet. If you just read the bold and the underline, the Rambam says, "Brachos rabos tiknu chachamim, derech shevach v'odayu, derech bakasha." We created a lot of brachos, the chachamim. They created a lot of different brachos to say. K'day lizkor saborei tamid. And if you look in Halacha Dalet, it's the exact same thing, underline. K'day lizkor saborei tamid uli yira mimenu. The remedy, the fix to distraction, to forgetting about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to causing yourself now to remember His presence and to be focused on it, is to every time that you have an opportunity, make a bracha. Be maskir Shem Shemayim. Remember Hashem's name. Say it out loud. Hear yourself talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that way, miyad, shivisi Hashem l'negdi summon, miyad, you're going to have Yiras Shemayim. The second you do that, it will be easily attainable. It will be something that you could achieve. Yiras Shemayim is really ma Hashem elokecha shoel meimach. It's really simple as long as you have this recognition. They say the Slonimer Rebbe was one time talking to the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav was the son of Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So the Slonimer Rebbe told the Brisker Rav that he saw his father, Rav Chaim, back in Brisk, I think, or maybe back in Vilna. So he saw him. He saw him getting an aliyah to the Torah one time. He saw him get a levi on Shabbos after whatever it was. So he saw him get up, and he saw such amazing focus, such amazing kavana. The Rav Chaim was making a bracha. He was grasping the Sefer Torah. His veins were bulging out of his head. He was mamish in a different world, and his eyes were bloodshot. He was in a whole different elevated state of kavana. It was unbelievable. Said the Slonimer Rebbe, "I've never seen a Birchas Torah like that. Your father had an amazing Birchas Torah." The Brisker Rebbe said, "You're right. You're not wrong. But he was like that way every time he made a bracha. It didn't matter if it was a Birchas Torah. Didn't matter if it was a Shahakal. Didn't matter if it was a Shechianu. Every time Rav Chaim made a bracha, such hislava, such yiras shemaim, it was palpable. It was something that you saw in the room. You immediately understood Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid. It wasn't something that was so far off. It was something that was right there, up in your face." So the pasuk goes ahead and says, "Ma Hashem elkecha shoel meimach ki im liyira." So it does hint to something simple. It hints to something that's easily attainable. We can get to yiras shemaim if we just remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through brachos. The more brachos you say, the more yiras Hashem you have, the more remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu you'll have. Says Rav Tversky, and the Sa'am Rebbe says the exact same thing in his Divrei Yoel. That's exactly what this drasha is. Al tikri, don't read it ma elameya. Doesn't say change the pasuk, change it from ma to meya, add an aleph. We're not adding letters. We're simply bringing to the fore what already lay implicit within the psukim. We're bringing out what was already hidden right there in the pasuk, right there out in the open in the pasuk. It said ma Hashem elkecha shoel meimach. It's easy to have yiras shemayim. What does that mean? It must mean meya. It must mean that you have to make as many brachos as possible, 100 brachos a day. And in that way, you'll be able to achieve Yiras Shamayim, Kiyum L'Yira. That's the only way to achieve Yiras Shamayim, to constantly mention Hashem's name, to constantly remind yourself of Him. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in his halachos, this is Shulchan Aruch HaRav was written by the Baal Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he writes this as well in Siman Mem Vav in Sif Aleph over there. And he's quoting from the Levush earlier, who also uses these Rambams to explain that. And in fact, earlier, or this wasn't earlier, this was around the same time, the Maharam Shik, Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, in Pressburg, Rav Moshe Shik, so he says the same thing as Perish Al Torah, and he explains that the only way to bring this Yiras Shamayim is not just to make brachas, not just to say brachas without kavana, that won't do anything for you. But if you say brachas with kavana, with an understanding, with a focus, so then you can automatically bring yourself to Yiras Shamayim. Just say 100 brachas a day, you'll be mentioning His name all day long, it'll be impossible not to be a Yiras Shamayim, it'll be impossible not to fear God and to remember Him constantly. In fact, this may explain, I didn't number the next source because it's a scroll, so just look for the scroll. The reason it's a scroll is because it's actually a letter, it's a cute little shtick. It's a letter from the Sasevar Rebbe of Moshe, I think it was Erblich. He was the original Sasevar Rebbe. There's still Sasevar Chassidus, I think, in Muncie and elsewhere. But he wrote in his letter one time to, it's quoted by the Achronim. He wrote in this letter, "El mali lo chatasi, if I only had sinned in this little way, it would have been bad enough. I would have been a bad enough person, an evil enough Russia," he's saying about himself, "if it was only true that I made 100 brachas a day without kavana." Now, what does he mean? It's true he made 100 brachas a day without kavana. Okay, he could have had more kavana. But he was Mekayim the din. There's a din in the Gemara that says you should make 100 brachas a day. So the Sasev Rebbe, he didn't do it with a lot of kavana, but he made 100 brachas. So what's he doing so wrong? What's the big sin? But now we understand the mitzvah, the din of making 100 brachas a day is not just to say the words. The point isn't just to be Yotzei Zayin and get a couple of words out 100 times a day, say Hashem's name. That's not the pshat. The pshat is that you're trying to enhance, to build, to grow your Yiras Shamayim, to cultivate a fear of God. And the only way to do that is to do it with kavana. If you skip the kavana part, maho alni bidvarenu is a waste of time. El mali lo chatasi ela bezet. This is a horrible sin. He says, in fact, later in the letter, he says, "I made HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry 100 times a day." A bracha without kavana is something to be ashamed of. It's something that's not to be proud of, and it's something that's not mekayim this din of making 100 of them a day. In fact, Rav Yaakov Emden in his siddur, my grandfather likes that siddur, so Rav Yaakov Emden in his siddur, so he says that if you make a bracha without kavana, it doesn't count towards your minin of 100. It doesn't count towards your count of counting 100 brachas a day, because it's not within this idea, this framework of Yiras Shamayim. Does it have to dafka be 100? Does it have to dafka be 100? So there is one source quoted, maybe I'll pick Kabbalah, that you're supposed to nail it on the head. You're supposed to make 100 brachas a day, no more, no less. That seems a bit disputed by everyone else in the world. The Shulchan Aruch here, source number 6, he says himself, "Chayav adam levarech b'kol yom mea brachos lefachos." You have to at least make 100 brachos a day. He's quoting directly from the Avud Raham in his Siddur also. And if you look at the Kuzari in source number 5, he gives a beautiful explanation. Just look in the last line with me. He says, if you're Mosif, if you add brachas every single day, more and more brachos, 100, 101, 102, keep adding brachos, memela, he says, ain suffik, there's no question your Yiras Shamayim will be enhanced. If you make these 100 brachas and more, there's no question that you're going to be a better person, a better Oved Hashem, and a better Yiras Shamayim. So we see there's this din, it's not just some playground idea of making 100 brachas a day, it's a real thing, it's in Shulchan Aruch. How serious of a din is it, right? Whenever we see a mitzvah, whenever we see a din, we have to ask, is it deraisa, is it derabanan? So any suggestions, deraisa, derabanan? Throw it out there. Throw out either one. All right, deraisa, fine, so we'll start with that. So the Magen Avraham in Siman Mem Vav right over here, in Sif Katan Zayin, the Magen Avraham points us to a machlokas rishonim, whether it's deraisa, derabanan. He quotes the Bahag, who says exactly like we just heard. The Bahad apparently counted that we have a pasuk over here, so seemingly it's a mitzvah daraisa. You have to make 100 brachas a day. That's a real din Torah, a real mitzvah daraisa. The Yireim in Siman Kufnan Hay in the newer editions. So he seemingly says that as well, but we're going to leave him out because the girsas get changed, and maybe he holds it's only derabanan. But Bahad seemingly holds that making 100 brachas a day is like putting on tefillin in the morning. It's a mitzvah daraisa. It's something you have to do every single day, min haTorah. The Rambam, most famously, disagrees. He disagrees very strongly. The Rambam, in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos, he wrote 14 sections of Shorashim, which are fundamental rules, laws, which dictate his count of mitzvos. He was explaining to you how he got to his count of 613. So in the very first Shoresh Aleph, so the Rambam quotes this Bahag, that he says that Me'er Brachos is a din daraisa, and it's in source number 7 over here, and he says that's a horrible mistake, it's a big ta'us, it's a terrible, terrible blunder by the Bahag, and in fact you're not supposed to say that it's 100 brachos a day is actually daraisa, really it's only midrabanan. The whole din is only midrabanan. If you look in the Sefer Stei Chemin, which is an encyclopedic work on everything, so in Klal Ches, sorry, in Ma'areches Ches, in Klal Lamedalid, he has a discussion about this. But Rov Rishonim Yachronim, most people, most of the poskim that we're familiar with, they all say it's only a din derabanan. That it's a din derabanan to make 100 brachas a day, and not a din deraisa. We can flip the page right now. The person who most prominently discusses this issue and says that it's a din derabanan to make 100 brachas a day and not a din deraisa is the Tur. The Tur is found over here in Simen Memvav, like everyone else. And the Torah gives us a little history lesson. He says, probably most people are familiar with this, that at a certain point in Jewish history, there was a horrible plague that was ravaging the Jewish people. A plague that was killing 100 people a day. Apparently, 100 Jews a day were dying. And David HaMelech saw this plague, and he realized he had to do something to fix it up. So they wanted to do tshuva. So what kind of way should they do tshuva? What could David HaMelech add to the nation to save them from a plague? So apparently, David HaMelech decided, this is the Torah quoting from Rav Natar Naigon, apparently David HaMelech decided that the best way to fight off the 100 people dying a day from this plague was to invent this idea, a takana, midirabanan, a derabanan din, of making 100 brachas a day to counter the 100 deaths a day. Every single day, a person should make 100 brachas, and in that way, in fact, he saved Klal Yisrael from this terrible plague. An interesting history lesson, but in fact, that history may have some bearing in halacha itself. It's going to be in source number 8b, but we'll get there in a second. In fact, there is major significance to this halacha, to this history in halacha. So there is a question in the poskim, whether you have to make 100 brachas a day specifically. Do you have to make 100 brachas yourself? Or is it possible that if you hear someone else saying a bracha, and you say amen, is that enough? Do I have to make the brachas myself, or can I answer along with someone else, and that counts towards my minion of 100? So there's two types of brachas we could be talking about. Let's say I have a suffix, or I don't know how to make a bracha, whatever the reason may be, someone else is being yotze me in the bracha. Shomei ka'ona, I'm being yotze along with someone else making a bracha. But he's fulfilling my chiyuv. It's a real chiyuv I have. So will that count? So the Prima Gadim, along with the Mabit in his Chuvos in Chelek Aleph and Simon Kufyat Zion, both of them say that you are in fact yotze your 100 brachas with that. If you heard three brachas that someone else was being motzi you, that you were saying amen along to them because you were chayiv in that bracha, so it would count towards your chiyuv, but most of the scenarios we'll be in are different. Most of the scenarios we'll be in will be as follows. Let's say I wake up a little bit early one day, so I say Berachos HaShachar and Berachos HaTorah before I get to shul. Fine. And I actually get to shul before the 5-minute rule is up, so I'm there for Karbanos, I'm there for Berachos HaShachar. So I hear the Chazan making brachos again. Do I need to be yotze with his brachos? No, I already made Berachos HaShachar, I already did it. But I can hear him now and say Amen. Right? I can hear him and answer along, and hear him even though I was already yotze. So will that count? Will that work towards my din of making 100 brachos every single day? So the Prima Gadim and Rabbi Akiva Eiger both quote that will work. In fact, I heard from Rav Shechter Shlita that would work as well. And Rabbi Shechter over here confirmed that was truly his shita. And Rav Moshe Sternbach in two places in his Shuvos in Chelek Dalet, it's in Simen Samech as well as in Simen Kufnan Gimel. So in both those places, he says you would be yotze in such a scenario if you went ahead and heard the brachas already. Sorry, if you made the brachas already and are hearing them now for your second time, you could use that towards your count of 100 brachos. That would help you in two ways. One, like we just said, Berachos HaShachar. Two is after you daven Shmona Esrei, you're no longer chayv in Shmona Esrei. But you're going to go ahead and listen to Chazar Sashatz. So you're going to hear 19 more brachas. So do your amens now count towards that minion of 100? So says Rav Sternbach, Rav Shechter, the Prima Gadim, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, all these people, yes, that would count towards your minion of 100. Great. But it's clear in the poskim, all those poskim included, that we're pushing you away from this. We'd rather you make brachos yourself as opposed to saying amen. What's the reason for that? The first reason I would have given was we want to mention Hashem's name. We want to increase our Yiras Shemayim, right? We want to add on to our Yira, so it doesn't help as much to say amen. We'd rather you make a real bracha, do the real makoy, and not be yotze with an amen. But the Bach says something different. It's in source 8b over here. The Bach says, remember what the Torah told us? The Torah told us that there's a history over here. There was a plague that was killing the Jewish people. 100 people were dying a day. David HaMelech said, I have to fix it. So I'm going to invent this idea, takana midrabanan, that you should make 100 brachas a day to counter the plague. That's what happened, right? Says the Bach, it's sakanas nefashos. To make 100 brachas a day is saving Jewish lives. Now, it's true, it was an old piece of history. It was thousands of years ago that this happened. But says the Bach, who says that if we stop saying the brachas nowadays, it won't just come back, the plague won't return? We have to do our best to be yotze this mitzvah because it's sakanas nefashos, it's pikuach nefesh, where there's lives on the line over here. Says the Bach, that's true, then don't do it in a b'di'avad way. Don't go ahead and say amen to a bracha. Don't go ahead and be yotze with someone else. Say the bracha yourself. You're saving lives. You're saving your own life and 99 other people's lives that day. And because that din is so important, because that history lesson is so important, it actually affects the halacha in this way that we should try our hardest not just to say amen, but to really find the way to make 100 brachos every single day. It's not that difficult every day. We'll get to seeing how. But most days of the week, it's not so difficult. And says the Bach, don't go ahead and say Amen unless you absolutely don't know how to make a bracha. Because Sakanas Nefashos, there are lives on the line. So just until now, we quoted the Gemara Menachos, which said the din, you have to make 100 brachas a day. We quoted the Pasuk from our Parsha, where that's coming from, and we explained the Drasha from Rashi is coming to say that the Pasuk is jumping in your face and saying, Yiras Shemayim. You have to have Yiras Shemayim, and it's easy. How in the world is it easy? So we quoted the Ramah, who says, Shivisi Hashem, Lenegdi Summit. As long as you remember Hashem, Miyad Yavol Yira. The second you have that, you'll be a Yari Shemayim. And we quoted the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, who said that making brachos is what brings you to that recognition of Hashem in every single way. And so it's not a weird drasha. It's coming right out of the psukim. It's easy to have Yiras Shemayim. How? Make 100 brachos a day, obviously. And then we came to this idea that it's not a din d'oraisa necessarily, but it is a din d'rabbanan, and in fact a serious din d'rabbanan that may have lives on the line. And what that would affect in halacha is that the Bach says, since there are lives on the line, since it's a kanos nefashos, don't just say amen to the brachos, go ahead and make the brachos yourself. But we did mention that b'di'evit, if you have no other option, and you need to count to 100, so Rav Schechter, Rav Sternbach, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Prima Gadim, all said that you would be able to yotze that with amens, even if you're already yotze the chi of bracha from before. I wanted to point out one quick thing, but maybe we'll be mapping to something else. Okay, we'll start here. So even if it's din derabanan, so now we have an idea that it's a mitzvah derabanan to make 100 brachos a day. Good? Everyone's with me? Good. Okay, 100 brachos a day is a din derabanan. So then what do we do with the pasuk? The Gemara said it's a pasuk. The Gemara quoted a pasuk in the Torah. Good, so there's an idea of a smachta. So what does a smachta mean? So a smachta is a basic concept that goes as follows. Sometimes the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, made a rule, they made a din, they made a mitzvah, and then they wanted to see, so where does that fit into the Torah? So it's a din derabanan, it's totally derabanan, it's not deraisa, but they took a pasuk and said, here's where it looks like that in the Torah, so here we have a din derabanan, totally derabanan, takana of David, which says make 100 brachas a day. Say the Chachamim, it's also found in the Torah, not to say it's Daraisa, it's just an Asmachta, we're just relying, we're just using the Pasuk in the Torah to help our case. In fact, there's an important Machlokas we've shown him exactly what Asmachta is. The Rambam, in his Akdama L'Perish HaMishnayis, so he says that an Asmachta is just like a mnemonic. It's just a way, a fancy memory trick, that we have it in Darabana, and now we found the Pasuk that teaches you that in some sly, creative way. The Ritva argues very strongly in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tes Zayin, it's a famous Ritva. The Ritva may or may not call the Rambam an apikoris. Okay, you have to look up yourselves to find out. But after he does or does not say that, he says that the idea of an asmachta is not that it's just a reminder, a fancy memory trick. The idea of an asmachta is that it's Ratzon Hashem HaNigla Bekra, which means that Hashem wants this mitzvah out of us. He wants us to do this din. He wants us to keep this halacha. Now, he didn't choose to say it in the Torah explicitly. He didn't choose even to say it in a drasha. He chose to let the Chachamim figure it out. But he did put it into the Torah in a clever way so that when the Chachamim came to that recognition that Hashem wants that mitzvah, that he wants that din, they would find it hidden in the psukim. The Chachamim had a unique ability, our Chachmei HaMesorah had a unique ability to read between the lines. And when they saw the psukim, they didn't just see the words in front of them, they didn't even only see the drushes in front of them. They saw Tilei Tlon, they saw tons and tons of words added in that reveal Ratzon Hashem. And so when you have a din that's a din derabanan, but it's also an asmachta, it's an added level of significance. It's not just your regular din derabanan, it's something that's right from the mouth of God, like anything else, just it's called a din derabanan. But it's still super, super important, more perhaps than other dinim derabanan. Nearly, it seems, perhaps we could say even stronger than that. Perhaps we could say that this mitzvah is even more than just a derabanan with an asmachta. Rav Avram Weinfeld, who was a contemporary, I guess, in the 50s of Rav Moshe Feinstein, so he has a small Sefer Shalos Teshuvos called Lev Avram. So I really only know, no one should be choshed in me, I really only know two Teshuvos in there. It just happens to be that one of them relates directly to this, and it also happens to be it's the first Teshuva in the entire Sefer, so that could prove that I haven't gotten very far. But in this first Teshuva, he's asked about wearing a yarmulke. The Shulchan Aruch does quote the idea of covering your head in Siman Beis Nor HaChaim. That's a real din. But Rav Avram Weinfeld was asking this Lev Avram in Siman Aleph, he was asked, do I have to cover my head when I'm in my house, when I'm in a room, when I'm inside? I have the roof over me, do I have to cover my head? So he goes through a bunch of makoros surrounding that din in Shulchan Aruch, quotes a Maharshal, he quotes a bunch of makoros back and forth. But in the end he says, I want to tell you a chiddush, I want to tell you something novel, I want to tell you something that I just created on my own. Says Rav Avram Weinfeld, I think it's a kiyum d'oraisa to wear a yarmulke. Not just a din d'rabbanan, not even a din d'rabbanan with a smachta, a kiyum d'oraisa. What in the world does that mean? Says Rav Weinfeld as follows. We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Yiras Shamayim. You have to fear God. So all the Mefarshim ask, the same way they ask by Lo Sachmo, the same way I ask by Avas Hashem, how can the Torah command us in emotions? How can the Torah tell us to fear God? It's something that we feel inside of us. It's not something that's external. It's not something that we can go ahead and change ourselves with. It's something that's deep-seated inside of us, an emotion. How can the Torah tell us what to feel? It's a good question. So many of the Rishonim, and it's brought out in the Rambam, and you saw the Torah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, say that the mitzvah is not to go ahead and feel Yiras Shemayim. That is not the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. Not the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Yiras Hashem is to do things which bring you to Yiras Hashem. Says the Rambam, if you want to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, go outside. Look at the trees. Rabbi Wolf took me outside today to look right outside. Okay, maybe no one should walk in the back because he took me outside to look. There's like a tremendous hornet's nest out there. So it's pretty darn scary, but it's also unbelievable. I don't understand how those little things could have built. It doesn't make any sense to me. You have to see it. It looks like it's made out of wood, like it's fortified, and it's huge. It's 1,000 times bigger than all of the hornets. I don't get how it got there. And when we looked at it, we did this before Seder. When we looked at it, so we were so amazed by the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Niflaos HaBorei, that he could create animals that could create such a thing. Look at the skies, look at the stars, look at the trees. It's unbelievable what he's done for us. Memela, it brings you to Yiras Shemayim. If you have such an outlook, if you go ahead and dwell on those things, Memela, you have Yiras Shemayim. Says Rav Weinfeld, a yarmulke, a kippah, is no different. Say Chazal, in the Gemara in Shabbos on Kufnan Vav, the Chazal say that if a person wears a yarmulke, it's a skula liyiras shemayim. If a person covers his head, he will come to Yiras Shemayim. So says Rav Weinfeld, there's a kiyum daraisa here. The mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim is to do the things that bring you towards Yiras Shemayim. That's what the mitzvah is. So if you wear a yarmulke and you're bringing yourself towards Yiras Hashem, you're being mekayim, a mitzvah daraisa. It's not some joke, it's not some minhag, it's not some derabanan. It's a kiyum of a mitzvah min haTorah. If that's true, I think you could suggest the exact same thing here. The way we started was that the entire idea of 100 brachas a day is what? To build our Yiras Shemayim, to enhance, to cultivate a certain feeling of fear of God. So if one of the ways of doing that is to make 100 brachas a day, well, that's no different than wearing a yarmulke, that's no different than watching a hornet's nest, that's no different than seeing the skies, seeing the stars, seeing the moon, seeing the sun, seeing the trees, no different whatsoever. Anything I do to bring me towards Yiras Shemayim is a kiyum daraisa. It's a mitzvah daraisa, b'kiyum of Yiras Hashem. It's an unbelievable thing. And so our din derabanan of Mea brachos b'chol yom, to make 100 brachos a day, it's true, it's derabanan. But the kiyum is on a level of daraisa. I think that would be an important chiddush, not just a chiddush, but something that would change our perspective on it. It's not just to make brachos, it's not just to keep a din derabanan, but it's something much greater. It's something that will bring us to this real important, one of the most important mitzvahs in the entire Torah of Yiras Shemayim. We do see that the Gedolim took this mitzvah very seriously. It took the mitzvah of making 100 brachas a day very seriously, whether it be derabanan, whether it be derabanan with an asmachta, whether it be derabanan and a kiyum daraisa. Just take a look at one gadol. So the Brisker Rav apparently held very strongly of this. If you wanted to know about the Brisker Rav, so there would be three basic avenues. The Brisker Rav was Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, the uncle of our Rabbi Soloveitchik that we're familiar with, the son of Rav Chaim, who we mentioned before. So if you wanted to know about him, there are three basic books you would take a look at. They're all from the works of Rav Shimon Yosef Meller. So here, I think I'm getting the order right here. I hope I'm getting the history right. He originally wrote a set of svarim for Chalakim called Uvdos van Hagos Lebeis Brisk, which was just a bunch of stories. He used to sit on the floor in the Hakota library and read it a lot. So that was just a bunch of stories in four volumes of different things that happened in and around Brisk. Then he turned it into a full biography, I think it's for Chalakim also, of the Brisker Rav, called Harav Mi Brisk. It's in Hebrew, hardcover, very beautiful set of svarim. And then they actually translated it into English. Thanks, Grandpa, he gave me his copy for now. I haven't gotten through the first chapter yet, but it's good. They translate into English, and that's your next avenue called the Brisker Rav, an English biography of the Brisker Rav. Usually pretty reliably sourced items in there. So in all the different Chalakim, you'll find amazing stories about the Brisker Rav keeping these hanhagos of making 100 brachos a day. In Chelek Dalet of Ovdos Hanhagos, it's also in Harav Mi Brisk, I just saw now, in Chelek Beis, so they tell the following story. One time, the Brisker Rav was standing by Mincha on Shabbos in the Beis Medrash, and someone came rushing in with a bunch of seeds in his hand. And he said to the Brisker Rav in an accusing tone, he said, I carry these seeds around all day, because Shabbos, it's harder to get brachos. So I carry these seeds, and I keep popping the seeds, and I'm making bracha, 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 and I'm adding up to 100. You don't do that. Implying that the Brisker Rav was not going to get to 100 brachos on Shabbos. The Brisker Rav did not miss a beat. He said, I have 76 brachos right now. If I say this one, I say that bracha, and this shal shittis, I'll get to 100 before you even get to 100 with your seeds. He said, oh, he listed all the brachos for the rest of the day. He was totally yoiske cheshbon. Everything he had in mind was already set in place. He knew exactly where he was going. He was always on top of this idea. In fact, they quote in Chelek Gimel of Harav Mi Brisk, and Rav Moshe Sternbach quotes this in Shuvos van Hagos as well, that the Brisker Rav was makbid that every single Shabbos he got maftir. He was a Levi, so he could have gotten Levi and gotten two brachos, but he chapped on to maftir and got a whole bunch of extra brachos every single Shabbos because he wanted to make sure that he got to 100. In fact, he was so upset, they say in the biography, when he was sick. Not because he was sick, not because he didn't feel well, but because he lost his appetite. And the fact that he lost his appetite wasn't annoying for his body, it was annoying because now he would make less brachas every single day. So when he was old and sick and didn't have an appetite, the Brisker Rav would tell his family members, please remind me to keep making brachas and not to forget to get to 100. And one more story, perhaps. The Brisker Rav apparently one time borrowed two different fruits from a woman on Shabbos and didn't say anything. The next day she came by his house, they were still there. He didn't touch them. So she asked, what was the point of borrowing my fruits if you're not going to use them? He said, no, at the time when I borrowed them, I thought I wasn't going to get to 100. In the end, I ended up getting to 100 brachos, so I didn't need your fruits, so take them back. I don't care. Brisker Rav was unbelievably makbid on this. So again, whether we see it was a din derabanan, a din deraisa, or kiyum deraisa, whatever it may be, it's something very important, very serious, maybe even kiyum deraisa, as we said, but no matter what, we see for sure Brisker Rav as one example of many of the gedolim took it very seriously. Okay, moving forward in the halachas. In fact, it's so important of a din, it's so important, this mitzvah, this, even if it's a mitzvah derabanan, it may in fact push off other dinim. It may in fact beat out other isurim. What do I mean? So if you look in the Gemara Menachos, source number 9, right there on the same daf, in Mem Gimel and Beis, the Gemara says, Rav Chiya, Breder of Avia, B'Shabta V'Yomitove, Ein Shabbos and Yontif, Rav Chiya, Breder of Avia, used to, Tarach U'memali Lehu, B'Is Park Miki U'megadi. He used to spend his time looking for different types of fruits and vegetables to make more brachos on. The implication, Rashi explains, is that we have less brachos inherently on Shabbos because the Shemoneh Esrei is shorter. Usually we have a Shemoneh Esrei of 19 brachos 3 times a day. On Shabbos, we have a Shemoneh Esrei of 7 brachos. So the Mishnah Berurah calculates in Sim Mem Vav that you're missing 13 brachos every single Shabbos. So the Gemara says that this Amor would go ahead and find fruits to eat and vegetables to eat to go ahead and fill his 100 brachos to get towards 100. So what about the following scenario? Let's say I'm sitting at lunch and my wife brings out fruits to the table. Good. So usually I eat the fruits during the meal. I make a bracha rishona, because even if you're eating a meal, you have to make a bracha on fruits. But I'm not going to make a bracha achrona, because benching covers the fruits, correct? Now I say, but it's Shabbos, and I want to get 100 brachos. So instead of eating the fruits now, I'll just wait. I'll push it off till after benching. I'll eat my fruits then. I'll make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona, and I'll add on 2 extra brachos for each fruit by doing that way. So is that mutter? Are you allowed to do that? So what would be the problem with that? Right, you're going a bracha she'ena tzricha, correct. We've spoken about this concept more than once here in the past. There's an idea of a bracha she'ena tzricha. You're not supposed to say a bracha that's unnecessary. Meaning, if you could get out of this way, that this situation of making one bracha, it is usur, it's totally improper for you to go ahead and make 2 brachos. Okay, that's the din. Where does that come from? In source number 11, we quoted a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin. It's also a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara in Brachos says that it's lo sisa es shem Hashem l'shav. You should not use Hashem's name in vain. You can't make an extra bracha when it's not necessary. Is that a din d'oraisa? The Gemara of quoted a pasuk. So the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Brachos and Halacha Tesvav, in fact, and this is explained by the Magen Rambam and Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam seems to say, yeah, it's an Isser d'oraisa. You're over on Losisa Shem Shav, Shem Hashem L'Shav, you're over on that Isser d'oraisa every time you make a bracha Shein Atzricha, a bracha Levatala. Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Gimel have a different approach. They say it's only a din d'rabbanan, and again, with an asmachta, but it's not a din d'oraisa. But no matter which way you slice it, it's usher to make an extra bracha, right? So we're sitting here at our Shabbos meal. We have these fruits in front of us. We have one bracha guaranteed. We want to make it into 2 brachas. So are we allowed to do such a thing? So I would think, no, it's usher, we just said. But in fact, the Shla, do we quote it? Yeah, the Shla is here in source number 12, quoted by the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Tesvav and Orachayim. The Shla says, mutter. Normally it's usher to make extra brachas. Normally it's usher to push off a bracha till later so you can make extra ones. But in this scenario where you're trying to get to 100 brachas in one day and it's such an important mitzvah, it's not considered a bracha sheina tzricha. It's considered a bracha hatzricha. It's considered something that's important enough that we push off a real din, perhaps daraisa according to the Rambam. It might be an iser daraisa that you're being matir right now, but says the Shla, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to go ahead and make the extra brachas because we're so careful about this idea of making 100 every single day. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal Tanya, in his halachos, in the Siman Reish Tesvav, in Sif Hei, he says the exact same thing, la halacha, like the Shla, that you're allowed to push off the brachas and make more on Shabbos because we're trying to get to 100. Not everyone agrees to this. The Magen Avraham right there, as we quote on source number 12, does not agree. The Mishnah Berurah also does not like it. But in fact, some of the major poskim do quote it, la halacha, the Das Torah, in his ha'aros on Siman Reish Tesvav. The Das Torah was written by the original Rav Shalom Mordechai Shvadron, the one that you guys are familiar with, his grandfather. So he wrote the sefer called Das Torah. He also wrote Shalos Chivos Maharsham. That's his name, Maharsham. So he says, he quotes a whole bunch of sources that agree with this Shla, that you can make a bracha shein tzricha on Shabbos because we're getting towards 100. And in fact, Rav Avadya Yosef in his Chivos Yechav Das in Chelek Vav, Simen Chav Vav, So Rabbi Ovadia says the same thing. He says he quotes a lot of sources. He quotes an Aruch HaShulchan, he quotes an Eliyahu Rabbah, a whole bunch of sources who say that you're allowed to make extra brachas on Shabbos even though it's normally aser, because we're trying to build towards that 100, and that's a bigger priority, that's a more important halacha. It's even harder. We said on Shabbos and Yontif, it's hard to get to 100 brachas. You're missing some. You're missing 13, the Mishnah Berurah said. What's the hardest day of the year to make 100 brachas? Yom Kippur. So Mishnah Berurah points out that we're missing 3 more brachas on Yom Kippur. And not only that, but you're also missing all the meals, right? So you're missing a ton of brachas on Yom Kippur. If Sternbach calculates, you only end up with 66 out of 100, which means you would have to make upwards of 30 more brachas, 34 more brachas on Yom Kippur to make up for the fact that you're missing out. So what do you do in such a scenario? So the poskim all recommend that you smell besamim here and there during the day, and I don't know, you go to the bathroom a couple more times. I don't have that problem at night, but during the day I'm going to have an issue. But you try to say chap a couple of asher yatzers, I don't know what you do, but you try to make it up. In fact, Rav Sternbach quotes that the Brisker Rav knew that he wasn't getting to 100 on Yom Kippur. The same Brisker Rav we mentioned before was so careful about 100, he knew he wouldn't get there. So on Yom Kippur, he always took a levy. He said, I'm not going to get there anyways and give up. He didn't take maftir. So it's funny, but it's also interesting, because I would have thought, if the whole idea of making more brachos, to make 100 brachos, is to be mekayim yiras shemayim, right? To uphold our Yiras Shamayim and to enhance it and cultivate it. So even if I can't get to 100, the more the merrier, right? The more times that I can mention Hashem's name, the more time I can say Shem Hashem, so it makes sense that I should keep adding on. It makes sense that I should keep trying. Okay, so I won't get to 100, I'll get to 66, I'll get to 80, I'll get to 70, whatever it may be. But the most brachas I can make, I should make. But it seems that the Brisker Rav didn't feel that way, and who am I to argue? But maybe I argue. Okay, anyways, Mikol Makom, we do have an Eitzah, because we quoted Rav Schechter and Rav Sternbach before, who said that you could be Yossi with Berachas HaShachar. Even if I made the Berachas HaShachar already, even if I daven Shmoneh Esrei already, but if I say Amen to the Brachos, I'll be Yotze, and there you're adding on a whole bunch of Brachos, and you may even get to 100 now. That would be great. In fact, they quote the fourth Belzer Rebbe, Rav Aaron Rokeach, the Rav Aaron Kadosh Yisrael, was his kinoi. So the Belzer Rebbe, it said that one time on Yom Kippur, he chapped 4 Berachas HaShachars. He made brachos before davening. He came to davening, he had 4 different people make it for him, and in that way he got straight to 100 very early in the day. Either way, there's this idea that we should smell besamim, make some extra brachos, try our hardest on Yom Kippur, because it's very difficult to get there. Again, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote that on these days where it's hard, on Shabbos, on Yontif, on Yom Kippur, not only is there a mitzvah to still try to get to 100, there's also actually a din that you should count, your brachos. You should know where you're holding. Be like the Brisker Rav at Mincha on Shabbos, you know you have 76 brachos and you have this many left. My friend in Eretz Yisrael once invented a little index card that had all the brachas you could possibly make, and you keep a pin going, whatever, it didn't catch on. But he tried. I think he needs to laminate it, then it'll sell. Sean, you on that? So anyways, it could be a good business move for anyone in this room. But you should, there is a mitzvah, there is a din that you should be keeping track of where you're holding. Try your hardest to get to 100 brachas, even when it's a little bit more difficult. Generally we say in Judaism, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker, right? Night is followed by day. The day starts at night. Very, very interesting, very different than what we're used to in secular life. But it's night, then day. The day starts with Ma'ariv. Shabbos starts at Ma'ariv, right? That's how the day, that's how the count works for our calendar. So how does it work by brachos? Does it go from night to day like everything else? Or maybe does brachos start in the morning and you have to get 100 between the morning and the night? So I don't know why it's even a question, but the truth is people say it's different. The Emes Liyakov, which is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, not my brother-in-law, So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Emes Liyakov on Gemara and Brachos, he repeats it 3 times. He quotes it in Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph in Emes Liyakov. Then he says, look at my Ha'aros on Beis Amud Aleph. And then in Beis Amud Aleph, he says, look at Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So in all 3 of those places, if you only have a sefer with one of those dapim, so look at that one. But the Emes Liyakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, it starts from the morning. You start your brachos in the morning with Elokai Netzor, with Asher Yatzar, whatever you make first. And then you go weiter until the nighttime. But the majority opinion in the Rishonim and Achronim is not that way. In Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Simon Menvav, like we quoted before, in Sif Aleph, so he says, it, I think I quoted it on the sheet. Yeah, source number 13, first one on the right side, 13a. Bechol yom yom. L'hashlim minyan ha'mea brachos shechayev kol adam levarech. Bechol yom yom. Next words. Me'erev yad boker. That it goes from night until day, like any other mitzvah in the Torah, like Shabbos, and like any other din. The Siddur of Rav Yaakov. And then he says the same thing in the Shuvos of Rav Bessal Stern, B'tzel Chachma, and Chilak Dalet, and Kufnan Hay. He also says that as well as Rav Sternbach in his Shuvos in Chilak Dalet as well. So all these people assume that the count goes from night to day, which means we have an interesting problem. In the summer months, people like to make an early Shabbos. So let's say it's Friday night, and not really, it's Friday afternoon, and you decide, I want to make an early Shabbos. Okay, so you make an early Shabbos. Now it's Shabbos, but it's still light outside, right? So what do you do in terms of brachos? That time that you're in right now, that limbo that you stand in, between day and night. So does that count towards your previous day of counting brachos? Or does that count towards Shabbos because, hey, it is already Shabbos? Right? Good question. So Rav Shimon Sofer, in his Shabbos Tshuva, his Oreros Tshuva, which is tough to say apparently, in Chel Gimel Simon Tafkuf Beis, so he says Lekula. He says that if you make it Shabbos, then all your brachos count towards Shabbos. No problem, no questions asked. Your brachos count towards the next day, and in that way you don't lose out at all. He's assuming probably like one day in Tosos, the famous Tosos, the Tosos in Pesachim and Tzadi Tesam and Beis have machlokas two deos. When you take in Tosefes Shabbos, right, when you make extra early Shabbos, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa according to most of Rishonim, except for the Rambam, when you make an early Shabbos, so are you allowed to have your Shabbos Suda, your meal, during that time? Will you be Yotze the Suda? So it's a machlokas two deos in Tosos, whether Tosefes Shabbos, adding early Shabbos, does that bring Shabbos to now? Does it make daytime into night? Or no, it just says stop doing malacha, but it's still daytime. Okay, interesting chakira, interesting machlokas. The nafkamina being, can I eat Suda Shabbos? Can I do the mitzvahs of Shabbos during that time? So this Rav Shimon Sofer seems to be assuming that when you take in Shabbos, you make the night, when you make the day into the night. And so all of your brachos now count towards tomorrow, towards the day of Shabbos. Life is easy. As hard as Shabbos was until now, it's not getting any harder. Don't worry. It's not so shver tzedan yid. You'll handle it. That's fine. But the truth is, the other poskim, Rav Batala Stern, where we quoted him before, Rav Moshe Sternbach as well, and others, say that that's not true. That even if you take in an early Shabbos and you make it Shabbos, but it's still daytime. It's still daytime. So all of your brachos go backwards. All of your brachos count towards the previous day. And so now you're stuck that Shabbos is already missing 13 brachos. Now you're missing 11 more, because your Mariv doesn't count. Your Kriya Shema and your Shema Yasser don't count. That's 11. Plus anything you eat during the time before it becomes Tzeis HaKochavim, before it comes, or I guess Shkia, before it becomes the next day, any brachos you make during that time do not count towards Shabbos. And so you're left with 11 to, I don't know, 15, 16 brachos missing from your daily count. So Shabbos just became all that much harder. And so, I don't know, that would make it seem like we should try to avoid making early Shabbos in the summer months. There are other reasons also to avoid making early Shabbos in the summer months, namely making Kriyas Shema at the right time with the Berachos Kriyas Shema. But it seems from the Minhag HaOlam that everyone makes an early Shabbos during the summer months that we're all off the hook, and we probably hold like the Hazoras Tshuva that you don't go ahead and count it towards the previous day. Once it's Shabbos, and your Berachos count throughout. So again, until now we've discussed the Gemara Menachos, which told us the din to make 100 Berachos a day. We discussed how serious of a din it was. We discussed where the din comes from. It's an idea of Yiras Shemayim. It's maybe a Kiyum D'Oraisa of Yiras Shemayim. We discussed whether Amen counts or not. A lot of halachas we discussed. Whether Amen counts or not. We discussed how hard it is on Shabbos, how you should keep a count, how you should smell Besam on Yom Kippur, how you should try to be Yotzi with Berachos HaShachar, and maybe the Berachos HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah. All these interesting things, these fabulous ways to go ahead and add to your Yiras Shemayim by making 100 Berachos every single day. It's not some shtick. It's a real, real halacha. The last thing I want to deal with, perhaps very briefly, is whether women are chayiv or not chayiv in this mitzvah. So what would be a reason to say they're not? Okay, so why would it be Mrs. Eshesh Zman Grama? Okay, so seemingly there's a limit, right? There's a time limit. It starts in the nighttime. It ends at the next almost nighttime. It goes for 24 hours. So that's in fact what Rav Moshe Sternbach suggests in his Chuvos V'Nahagos Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Nun test. Kuf Chaf test. He does suggest that. But it's knocked off by the later poskim by saying that, no, it's not true, because it's really knowing 24-7. Every hour, every day of the week, you have this mitzvah to make 100 brachos. So do we have another reason to say they're pater? So no one would know this, but if you look at the Rishonim and the Achronim, the way they quote the brachos, they quote a lot of brachos every day. It's easy to get to 100. But in that count, they count tefillin, tzitzis, what else? Yeah, three Shemona Esrei, Berachos Kriyas Shema. Now, women are allowed to do some of those things. They're encouraged to do a lot of those things, but not all of them. Not all of them do women do every single day. Even the Berachos Kriyas Shema, sometimes a woman is very busy. Sometimes she doesn't have a chance to say the Berachos Kriyas Shema. Sometimes she doesn't daven three times a day, whatever it may be. So clearly, the poskim were assuming if we're counting tefillin, if we're counting tzitzis, if we're counting tefillah Shemona Esrei, so we're not expecting women to get to 100. It's harder for them. It's really difficult. How can we force them to go to 100? And in fact, the poskim point out, nowhere in the Gemara does it say, and women should go ahead and find more fruits to eat during the day, you know, and more Greek yogurts or whatever, to make more brachos, you know, to get towards 100. Nowhere does it say that in Chazal. Nowhere does it say that in the poskim. Because clearly they weren't involved. They weren't mechuyav, because we're not going to make it so difficult for them. Why should we give them such a trouble? In fact, this might tie in. One of the ideas behind the women being paturos from Mrs. Eshesh Zman Grama is because they really do have this constant recognition of Hashem in their lives. Men need Mrs. Eshesh Zman Grama, these time-bound mitzvahs, because we need a point to focus on and say, you know, I remember Hashem. I'm remembering here shaking a lulav. I'm remembering here putting on tefillin. We need that. Women, less so. Women, somehow everyone sees it. They're spiritually much more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so if this whole idea of Mea Brachos, making 100 brachos a day, is to get closer to Yiras Shemayim, so they're already there, pretty much. So maybe they don't need this din of 100 brachos every single day. But in fact, Rav Avadya Yosef, quoted by his son Rav David Yosef, quoted by himself and other places, I have not heard it yet, so I can't confirm it, but apparently Rav Shechter Shlita holds this way as well. Andrew Valiashev has written that the women are in fact chayav to try to get 100 brachos a day. I know it sounds difficult, and to all you women listeners out there, but again, just try your best. Go get them. Greek yogurt. I don't know, whatever. You'll be all right. Maybe according to what we said before, even if you can't get there, it's true that Brisker Rav might not agree, but maybe you should try to make as many brachas a day as you possibly could, because, okay, you might not get to 100, but to increase your Yiras Shamayim, yeah, you might be able to do that by adding brachos, even if you get to 90, even if you get to 40, but you'll still get somewhere in enhancing your idea of Yiras Shamayim. The first pasuk in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Ekev, says, "V'haya Ekev tishmu'un es ha-meshpatim ha'ele." If you listen to these rules, if you follow these statutes, then HaKadosh Baruch will bless you in the greatest of ways. And Rashi famously says, Ekev, which is if, right? If. So Ekev is a strange, funny way of saying, if you do this, then this will happen. Why do we use that word Ekev? So Rashi explains that if you're makbid, if you're careful about the mitzvos she b'nei adam dashim ba'akevav, mitzvos that people usually step over, they trample on with their heels, it looks to them like mitzvos kalos. We spoke about this in the women's shiur this morning. It looks like it's not important mitzvos that they don't really pay attention to. If you're careful about those mitzvos, so you will be blessed in the greatest of ways. This is clearly a mitzvah, this idea, this din derabanan, which is maybe a kiyum daraisa, clearly a mitzvah that has been kicked under the rug by everyone's heels, that has been trampled on, that has been forgotten, that has been turned into nothing but a shana aleph shtick, as we started with. And so maybe it would be important, especially here, standing Shabbos Parshas Ekev, that we as a group, having worked on it already tonight, should go forward over the next week, over the next days, over the rest of our lives, and try to focus a little bit more. Add a bracha here or there. Add a time where you're thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Try to enhance your Yiras Shamayim in this very specific way, so that this mitzvah should not be forgotten. This mitzvah should not be among the list of Ekev. It shouldn't be a mitzvah that's trampled on. It should be something that we uphold, something that we bring to life. So I appreciate everyone coming out to